You know, Satan is a cunning creature. If you would call him a creature, he's really a spirit. But he'd love to classify what we're doing with things like Jim Jones and different cults around the world. But you know, even the Catholic people have more sense than that. Somebody was telling me today that even a Catholic boy was watching the program on TV and made the statement, said that they didn't do Brother Pike right, and him a Catholic. Said they ought not to show our film with those other things, said what Brother Pike's doing there is not even to be classified with that other. You see, God is going to deal with the hearts of people regardless to what kind of devilish trick that Satan tries. And I believe it was another person, I don't know if it was a congressman or whatever, had enough understanding that he made the statement, said that the Jim Jones thing had nothing to do with religion. It ought not even be classified as such. But see, the devil, he wants to bring in a religious boycott and do away with the true way of life. He would like to classify what we're doing as some kind of a cult, that he might have something to strike at the religious world with. But I'm thankful that God isn't going to let that happen. They won't be able to do nothing with God. Righteousness will win out. I learned long years ago that righteousness will win out. A lot of times we can't rightfully get our bearings because we feel like that the way sin is moving and the way the evils of the world are moving, that Satan is bound to win out inasmuch as there is the regime of the Antichrist coming in for tribulation and whatever. But righteousness has always triumphed. And righteousness will win out. It might go through some stormy seasons. And it might look like that Satan is going to take the upper hand in that he is the prince of this world. But you can rest assured that righteousness will win out. God will establish his kingdom and his people, and Satan and the brute beast of this world will eventually be taken, destroyed, done away with altogether. Satan constantly seeks to accuse, to condemn, to tear down, to find fault with the things of God. He's got people throughout the world that's constantly trying to find fault, make it look bad, talk against it, say things against it, try to prove to people that God isn't with them, that God's against them, that they've transgressed against God and God won't have them. Don't ever believe that. That isn't the Bible, that isn't God, that isn't God's teaching. There's no Bible for it, and there is no voice that God will accept except it found itself on the Word of God. God's voice will always be to encourage, to build up, to love you, to walk with you, to strengthen you, and to help you. Now, He'll chasten you because He chastens those that He loves. He'll rebuke you, but He'll always love you and cuddle you, hold you up and strengthen you and try to do something for you, always for you and your little ones. I know the Lord gets grieved with us. He does with me and He does with you. I know He does. But He doesn't forsake us. The Bible said, I'll never leave you. When people start talking to you about God having departed and left you, don't believe that. Because the Bible said, I'll never leave you. And some voice starts speaking to you and say, yeah, the Lord's forsaken you because of such and such. Don't believe that. Because God said, I'll never forsake you. When you start getting fearful and afraid and tore up, don't listen to that. Because the Bible said, let not your heart be afraid. Don't let it be troubled. When voices come and things come, it tear you up and cause you to be afraid. That troubles you. Just throw that off. Because God doesn't want you troubled. God doesn't want you afraid. See, and you're not trying to get to heaven because you're good. There's none good but God. And when voices try to tell you that you're lost because you haven't been good and you haven't done this, pay no attention to that. Because there's none good but God. Jesus testified to that. We're not going to heaven because we're good. We're going to heaven because He's good. I haven't been saved because I'm such a fine fellow. I've been saved because He was willing to spill His blood for me and so loved me while I was yet in my sins that He gave His life for me. And how much more does He love me now that He hath already spilt His blood for me? He loved me that much before He spilt His blood for me, enough to spill His blood for me. How much more does He love me now that He has spilt His blood for me? So then, if He loved me so while I was yet in my sins, how much does He love me now that I've been washed from my sins? And this is what we've got to hold on to, and this is what we've got to believe. And don't be troubled, don't be tore up, don't be worried about all these things like Jim Jones and that kind of thing. The Bible said, evil will fall all around you, but it won't come nigh your dwelling, and no wicked thing shall befall the righteous. The Bible says so. Say, well, look what befell them down there. I said the righteous. See, if when things like that befall people, they're not righteous people. No evil thing shall befall the righteous. So this is what we've got to hold on to, and this is what we've got to believe. And we've got to teach life, not death. Teach people to live and to love, not to steal and kill and destroy. Satan is a robber. He kills, he steals, he destroys. That was the move of the devil with Jim Jones. And they got their reward. From their reprobate minds, they draw death. And just as sure as death came from their reprobate minds and fallen that which is perverse, so shall life come to you who have the minds of Christ, who follow the truth. So don't be troubled. It's the right way. All right, I marvel. I noticed that even some of your relatives are already talking about Jim Jones and their trouble about the people over here. That's something, isn't it? That's how bad off people are. But I'm thankful that God is with us. God is helping us. First of all, we haven't bought a bunch of guns yet. They had a bunch of them laying around for the purpose when everything got just right. And I've asked you not to have any laying around. I've asked you to get rid of all of yours. I think some of you kind of pushed over and you're keeping yours around anyway for the occasion. And you might have the occasion. But we're not keeping any around because we're not looking for the occasion. They kept theirs around for the occasion. And of course the Bible said, he that lives by the gun, he'll die by the gun. Or that is by the sword, he'll die by the sword. So if that's the only confidence you've got that God can protect you through a gun, then you don't have any faith in God anyway. So one day you'll be in bad circumstance. Now, there's a lot of things I'd like to say to you, as I said the other night. And the other night you fed real good. Tonight, it ain't you, it's me that's tired tonight. But I have a reason. Of course, we all have reasons, but I have a reason. But I'm just a little bit tired and weary and really don't need to even try to teach tonight. But I did want to say a few things to you. Let's read the 7th chapter. We read the 8th chapter last night. We never did really get into, or the other night was, we never did really get into the 8th chapter. We kind of built around it. Maybe someday we'll get into it. But let's turn to the 7th chapter. Let's read the 7th chapter tonight, the book of Revelation. How many of you really thrill at the thoughts of getting into God's Word? I thrill. Just the thoughts of getting into God's Word and talking about God's Word and thinking on God's Word. The 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin was sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor heat, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I was reading a little bit of scripture tonight from the book of Revelation. A lot of things that we could say in the teachings of it if we went back and we began to trying to expound or explain, there's a lot of things that we could say. I'm always reluctant, most of the time, in coming up here, I'm reluctant to try to get into anything real spiritual, because I never know, unless the Lord directs my heart, I never know how that it will be received or what God will do with it. I'm always reluctant, I always kind of hold back from getting into something real spiritual. I more or less just stay to the surface side of the matter, to where I can, you know, just close out if the people are not feeding. And that way there won't be any complication. Because if you get in the deep things of God and in the mysteries of God, if the anointing and the Spirit of God isn't there to really cause the people to feed, then you really got a problem. Try to cut off and you can't cut off because you'll cause confusion, and you try to go on and you can't go on because the people isn't feeding, and it really makes it bad. So what I try to do is talk to you just on a surface level of just telling you about the Word of God. And then if the Lord begins to show me that everything is right for some deep talk and some deep teachings, then I try to get into it. To me, it would be so wonderful if we could come every night and get into the deep things of God. It just thrilled my heart because I love the mysteries of God. I love the deep things of God. We talked the other night concerning the thunders. And I might just say a word or two here concerning those things. I don't know just what route we'll take yet anyway. But I spoke about the thunders. And I know that in Brother Branham's teachings, I read it for myself. He made the statement that, and I repeat as I said the other night, he made the statement, could it be possible that the thunders was made known in the loosening of the seals of Revelation, and we did not get it? And then he went on a little farther and he said, they were made known. Whereas, that's wonderful. I spoke of them in what I understood as being connected with the seals. And I'm not here to find fault with Brother Branham or any other preacher. I'm only here to try to explain what I understand, because I could be far wrong and he could be just exactly right. So you believe whatever you want to believe. But I have to make reference back to those things because people build on those things and they have convictions in those things. But to me, it is not sufficient for me. Now it might be for you and it might be for our brother Branham. But it's not sufficient for me to say that the thunders was made known in the seals and we didn't get it. That's not sufficient for me. Because according to what I understand of the Bible, we are supposed to get it, and we will get it. And if they were made known and the people didn't get it, as far as I'm concerned, that didn't benefit humanity. Now, they might have been made known. I don't know. They could have been made known. That's his conviction. That's what he understood. I don't know. That's his business, you know. He preached a wonderful message and done a wonderful thing for God. I don't know. But I know this one thing. It didn't do me any good for him to get them. It didn't do me any good for him to open seals and things be made known and me not get it. That didn't do me any good. So then I'm going to continue to search for something that will do me good. Now he might have got it and it done him good. Now, but it didn't do me any good. So then I'm going to search till I find out what the Lord was saying himself. Because the Bible tells me that I have an unction from the Holy One that I should know all things. And if they didn't get it, then that's just them. Because I'm planning to get it if he'll let me have it. And according to the Bible, he will. So then I believe that there is something to be made known. Now this is my conviction. The things that are in the thunders was to be made known. And this is my conviction. And you might not agree with me. But they were to be made known in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you might say, Brother Pike, what gives you the conviction that they are to be made known in the revelation? Is that because you say that you have the revelation? Could be. If you want to look at it like that, that could be the reason. But this is what I feel. I believe that they are in the revelation of Jesus Christ because John the Revelator wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ when they were given to John the Revelator. It's in the book of Revelation that they were given, and that book is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So then those thunders were in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but all of that mystery concerning the man-child and the dragon going out and the different things happening was in the revelation of Jesus Christ. All of those great mysteries was in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it was in the revelation of Jesus Christ that John heard and understood the thunders and was about to write them down when the Lord said, don't write them, John. Now, so that's my conviction. All right, now, I am persuaded to believe that the reason he did not write them down was that if he had written them down, that the devil would have known what it was. How many of you know that the devil knows what's in this Bible? He knows it from cover to cover, and he even quoted it word by word to Jesus. Isn't that right? So then it is my conviction, Father, that the reason he did not allow John to write him down, it is because the devil himself would have known the mysteries of the thunders, and God did not intend for anybody to know those mysteries except the saints of God. And I believe that Paul the Apostle understood the great revelation of God in his time, and that God said to him, Paul, there's things that cannot be uttered, that you cannot teach, though you've come up here to a place to see them. Yet you cannot teach them because it isn't the time and the season for the rapture of the church. That is my conviction. I believe that's what God was expressing to Paul, that it was out of season. Now, so everybody's got their conviction and everybody talks about what they want to talk about. Everybody does what they want to do, whether it's Jim Jones's way of life or whether it's the Baptists or the Methodists or Brother Branham's followers or whether it's Brother Pike's followers, whoever it is, they do what they want to anyway. But I want to try my best, to the best of my ability, to do what the Bible tells me to do. I want to found my conviction on the Word of God. If the Word of God causes me to blow my brains out, I want to blow my brains out. Somebody say, I love Jesus. If the Word of God causes me to pluck my eye out, I want to pluck my eye out. If the Word of God takes me to hell, I want to go to hell because I want to stand on the Word of God. Now somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. It would never do that. God allowed Jesus to go through the chambers of hell. Isn't that right? And the Bible said God smote Jesus at Calvary. We esteem him smitten of God. Is that right? All right. So then the Bible tells us that we are delivered unto death all the day long, accounted as sheep with the slaughter. Isn't that right? Now, so then I want to stay with the Word of God. It is my conviction that God's Word will never cause anybody to blow their brains out nor blow anybody else's brains out. That is my conviction. It is my conviction that God's Word will never cause anybody to commit suicide or indoctrinate anybody else to cause them to commit suicide. That is my conviction. Now, but whatever the Word of God is, I want it. It is my conviction that the Word of God will never send anybody to hell except those that are predestined to go to hell because they want to be wicked brute beasts and don't want to serve and follow Christ. The Word of God will cause a man to blow his brains out in this way. This is my conviction. That the Word of God will cause a man to blow his brains out and blow somebody else's brains out. If a man rejects the Word of God, if a man will not abide by the Word of God, if a man tries to distort or rearrange the Word of God or add to it or take away from it, it's liable to cause him to do anything. It will cause him to do anything because he has rejected the only way of life. But if a man will go God's way, love the Word of God, honor the Word of God, he'll never hurt himself. He'll never hurt anybody else. He'll always be peace. Always have peace because all the paths of God are peace. All the paths of God are peace. Jim Jones didn't know the paths of God. Neither did his people know the paths of God. If they had known the paths of God, they would have had peace. They didn't have any peace. If they had had any peace, they would not have been afraid. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as the lion. They wasn't bold. They were afraid and took their own life. The Bible said the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Now, so then, it is my conviction that if you are born of God, your heart is fixed in God and evil tidings will not trouble you. And that you're not easily moved about and blown about by every wind of doctrine. That you are anchored in the things of God and you'll stay with it until death for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that you must die for the Word of God if it's necessary. I believe that. I believe that hundreds of thousands of people in the dark age and in the time past died for the Word of God before they would give up their conviction. But I don't believe that that is the case with Jim Jones and his followers. I do not believe that they died for the Word of God because the fashion in which they died and the things that they did was not of God nor God's way. People who died for God's Word, it's recorded in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, how that they died bravely and courageously, standing in righteousness and holiness, not harming anybody, not trying to get anybody to go to death with them, but just standing in their own conviction, in their own sovereignty for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, he that is faithful unto death, I will give him a crown of life. Be therefore faithful unto death. Now, so then I believe that there's a right way, and I believe that there's a wrong way. And I believe that we've got the right way at Little Bethlehem. And I made this statement today that if Little Bethlehem doesn't have the right way in the midst of all the turmoil, the troubles and the problems of today, if Little Bethlehem doesn't have the truth, then brethren, it's going to be mighty hard to find the truth. When you consider all of the church world and the denominational ways of life, all of the religious cults of today, if little Bethlehem doesn't have the truth, where are you going to find the truth? I'd like for somebody to show it to me. I really would. If you don't believe in this and you don't believe this is the right way and you don't believe it, Brother Pike is preaching the Word of God, then you need to come up with something. It's a poor physician that will diagnose a case and can't offer a remedy. So then if you don't believe in this, then you need to offer us a greater remedy. If you don't have a greater remedy, you need to accept what we're saying. That's the way I feel. If that was a greater government than the government of the United States and I can get to it, could get to it with my people or with my wife and children, I'd get to it. But in that I do not believe that there is a greater government in the world than the government of the United States, then I remain here because I believe that it's the greatest government in the world. I do not agree with some of the governmental officials that we got. I believe that some of them are Judases and some of them have sold us out. They're traitors. And I don't always agree with some of the great leaders. But I know that our forefathers set up a great government because I've studied it, looked at it, and considered it. And it's God's way in the way that they set it up. I know amendments and insertions and taking away from it has caused it to become a conglomeration of a mess. But still, as far as the government itself, it's a good government. All right, so that's my conviction about little Bethlehem. I believe that this is a good Christian government. I believe it's founded on the Word of God, Jim. And I believe that it'll stay that way until Jesus comes. I don't believe that we're going to go around blowing our brains out because Jim Jones blowed his out. Somebody say, I love Jesus. There's been hundreds of thousands of people like Jim Jones that blowed their brains out and killed other people. They've been murdering ever since Babyface Nelson, Pretty Boy Floyd, and all the rest. But that hasn't caused the Christians to blow their brains out. So why get all tore up and all stirred up all over the nation just because Jim Jones decided to blow his brains out? All right, so it's good to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Now, I can understand the brute beast of this world being tore up. I can understand people being tore up. Over 900 people losing their lives and little children. I can understand that. But the biggest reason they're tore up is because they see the great tragedy and it makes them nervous because they don't have any foundation for their faith. People are going insane. They're losing their minds because they don't have any gravitational force to hold them in a position of sanity or the right way of life. They're just everywhere, everything, and it's tearing them all to pieces. I didn't understand how they feel, but I don't feel that way about it. See, we've got Jesus. The Bible said it's a good thing for the heart to be established, and my heart is established in the peace of God and in the things of God, so I don't feel the way that they feel about it. All right, so it's good to be a real, genuine child of God and not to be frustrated and be tore up over every little thing that takes place. The Bible tells us that all of these evil things is coming. From time to time, they're coming. And they're going to come your way and they're going to come my way. And they're going to fall all around us, fall at our door. But the Bible said they won't come nigh our dwelling as far as entering into our rights and sovereignty with God. All we've got to do is hold on to the Word of God. You take the Word of God, you'll be all right. The Bible said the wise man dug down deep. He founded his house upon the rock, and when the winds begin to blow, and when the troubles of life begin to blow, it didn't bother him. When all the turmoils of life begin to come, and the heartaches and problems begin to come, it didn't bother him, because he had his house anchored on a rock. And Jesus said, who is a rock but our God? Upon this rock I build my house, he said. And he advised you and I to build upon the rock of God's Word. Isn't that right? And what we need to do is build on God's Word and the winds won't get it. The strong ideology and feelings of theology won't crush it and blow it down. The contrary winds of fear and doubt and despondency won't take it down. So then there's no need to be frustrated. No need when somebody comes up and whispers in your ear. And they say, hell, you know, it was like that with this cult over here. Don't pay any attention to that foolishness. You need to turn to that man, the woman, and say, the trouble with you is you need to be born again. And if you was born again, you wouldn't have that problem of fear and frustration, being blown about every time a little troubled wind comes your way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody come to Brother Bob not too long ago and told him it was traveling time for him and moving time, and he'd been in this too long. Bobby said it didn't bother him a bit. Said he had done cast anchor and he planned to stay longer than what he's already stayed. So then the man got blown away. Bobby didn't. After a while, the man drifted off. You see, there is a right way, children of God. And there is a strength, and there is a conviction, and there is a faith, and there is something to get a hold of you and anchor you and plant you in the vineyard of God to where you'll stay planted, and nothing won't root you up. But the Bible said every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. I want to establish you. I want to plant you. I want to put the indoctrination of God's Word in your mind to where you'll believe God's Word. It doesn't matter who talks to you. You'll believe God's Word. It doesn't matter what kind of thoughts come to you. You'll always believe God's Word. And you'll be a happy people. You'll be a happy people. The Bible teaches that they are a happy people that trust in God. You'll be a happy people all down through the many years, hundreds and thousands of years, going way back, all the way down. It has been that God has founded His people upon a solid rock, and has taken care of His people, and His people have always triumphed and always held together. And when all the things like Herod's murder and all the things like down there in Pharaoh's time, the murder that he did, all of those things, they held together through it, come right on through it. All the Jim Joneses of the ages, they just passed it on by and came right on. They're still standing today. God's people have a sure foundation. The Bible said, I will shake everything that can be shaken. God is going to shake people. This thing that happened in South America will shake people. Other things that's happening in Africa will shake people. All the wars and tornadoes and problems will shake people. They'll get frustrated. They'll get fearful. They'll be running to and fro everywhere. Their money won't be any consolation to them. They won't have any hope. They won't have any peace, because the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. They'll just drift from pillar to post everywhere, troubled all the time. But brothers and sisters, you and I will be anchored. Hallelujah. And we'll be filled with the peace of God. And all of these things won't bother us. For the Bible said our heart is fixed and evil tidings shall not trouble us. All right. So then, this is the way that I see life, and this is the way that I understand life. Satan is using the things that happen in South America and different places for one purpose. And that is to cause a boycott to where people will fill, that is the governmental powers, will fill the people's minds with fear and frustration and make the people believe that there is no protection except in the government and in the law. And in so doing, the people will flock to the control of the government and the law, and when they do, they'll lose their sovereignty, trying to run to the arm of flesh, when the Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh, or goeth down to Egypt for his help. It'll cause all the people to become frustrated and run to that intellectual, natural source that the law and the government has programmed, and in so doing, they'll lose their sovereignty and eventually become prisoners. That's what they'll do. Because the government will close in, and unless the government says it's all right, unless the government approves it, unless the law says it's all right, then you can't have part with it. And brother, you can be sure of one thing, the government and the law, being as carnal-minded as they are, will never approve the Word of God. You say, I believe they will, Brother Pike. If they will, why did they let some woman come up to the White House or come among the congressmen and completely put prayer out of the schools? That shows they don't have any understanding about it. God didn't call the government to do that. God called the preachers to do that. Why not let the preachers approve the government instead of the government approve the preachers? Just because some man went to college and studied to be a president or studied to be a governor, that doesn't give him the right to judge God and God's people. God's people should judge him. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God set it up. So then what we need to do is to realize that those things have nothing to do with us, And we need to keep our own sovereignty and stay separated from the things of this world. Stay separated from the government, separated from the law, separated from the things of this world, and stand for the things of God, not criticize the government, not criticize the law, not criticize the things that God has put in effect and enforced, but stay away from those things. The Bible said the law is made for the lawless. Let the lawless take care of that. The government's made for them people that don't have any government. We've got God's government. The Bible said God's government will be upon our shoulder. We're controlled of God. We don't need to worry about things like that. It's my conviction that the thing Jim Jones was doing, and this is what I believe about it, he said he had thousands of acres down there in the jungles, had cleared away about 900 acres, and it's my conviction that what he was going to do was build himself a kingdom. Make himself a king or an emperor. And he couldn't do it here in the United States, in the regular states here, and he went down that part of the country, knowing that little kings sprang up everywhere down there. That he'd get a bunch of followers, and after a while he'd be a great emperor or something. And then cause his empire to increase to his own desire, as much as he wanted to. But we're not looking for that. I'd love to see little Bethlehem in a great city. I'd love to see it expand. I'd love to see us have all the facilities, all of the blessings of God. Because he said, come out from among the world and be a separate people. I know that we have problems trying to cope with the carnal mind out there in school. They want to make prostitutes out of our daughters to turn them into dope addicts. Oh, you say, now, Brother Pike, they don't want to do that. I don't mean the right system wants to do that. But I mean the system that's got control of the thing. They're yielding to it. Just like the armed forces, if they've got the answer out there and God hasn't got it, why is it that they stated that 90% of our soldiers that's on the frontier of battle, over yonder, the ones that's holding the fort in the foreign countries, that 90% of them are dope addicts and on dope? They said that they don't have the answer. They said, we don't know what to do about it. Said, if we take all of the soldiers away from over there that's taking dope, we won't have anybody to hold the front. If they've got the answer, why don't they do something? If they've got the answer, why is it their schools are becoming cesspools of iniquity while our school is staying clean? Why is it that little Bethlehem school is staying clean? And some of the other schools that God's got, Christian schools, are staying clean while the world goes down the drain. You know why it is? They've chosen their own intellectual reasoning. They've strayed from men like Washington and Lincoln that took the government from the Bible, and they've lent to their own intellectual reasoning, and they've tore down everything that the forefathers stood for, and they've made a cesspool of iniquity out of it. And they don't know what to do with it themselves. That's where the problem is. That's why that they've got their eyes on the religious world now. They've got their eyes on it because they don't know what to do out there in their world. They don't know how to cope with their situation. And they're frantically searching everywhere, looking for the answer. And they've tried everything from bebop to rock and roll. And they don't know what to do. They've tried everything from education to frolic. And they don't know what to do. And now they're turning toward the religious world. And down deep, they're hoping to find the answer. That's what it's all about. Now, that's what happened in the Dark Age. They finally found the answer in the church. And when the Roman powers found the answer, they killed out the body of Christ, took it over, and it wasn't long before they had the whole thing perverted again. Don't you know that the wicked can't stand in the presence of God? People who are wicked can't stand in the presence of God. If America ever becomes a God-fearing, a God-loving, a God-respecting nation, God will do something for them, and God will lift them up, and God will make them great people, and God will give them peace. If they'll ask for the old paths and walk therein, the Bible said they'll find peace and rest to their soul. But if they can't do that, they'll never find peace and rest. Because there's no peace to the wicked. No peace. That's why that I say that we shouldn't be troubled. There's no need for us to be troubled. There's no need for us to have problems. There's no need to be tore up because of the things of this world. There ain't no need. Racial problems, financial problems, educational problems, social problems, there ain't no need for us to worry about it. God is with us. God has the answer. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God's going to order my steps. All things are going to work together for them good to them that love the Lord. Why should we fear? In the world you'll have trouble, but in me you'll have peace. So I'm not worried about those things. I'm not going to let my mind get... I'm not going to let them stray off. My mind, I'm not going to let it stray off on those things. I'm not going to worry about those things. God will take care of it in His own way, in His own time, in His own season. I'm just going to continue on loving Jesus and serving God. And the Lord's going to continue on to bless me and help me. I know there's some that sure would love to see Brother Pike tumble. I know they would. There's some that would love to see me go down so they could say, I told you so. But it isn't going to be like that. I said, there you go saying it. You just wait till it happens. You just wait till it happens. If it happens, you'll have your chance to say so. But if it don't happen, then I could just keep right on crowing for Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to do. All right. So no evil or wicked thing shall befall the righteous. God has His eyes on the righteous. The Bible said, he that trusteth in his riches, he shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. I'm not trusting in riches. I'm trusting in Jesus. I'll continue to flourish because I know where the source of my strength is. I know that God has something for me. I realize that little Bethlehem has become famous. And is becoming more famous all over the nation and all over the United States, all over the world, and will continue to become more famous. But the thing that I'm interested in is not little Bethlehem. I'm interested in Jesus. But I'm glad that God is keeping His word and lifting up and magnifying an area that He promised and told me, according to what I understood of His word, that He would do, that we might be a light, and that men might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Little Bethlehem is part of our works, isn't that right? And men are beginning to see it, even on TV. They're beginning to see it. See the ladies at their work, the men at the presses, men at the labor, the preacher, beginning to see the singers, the people coming to church, beginning to see the ladies in their long dresses. They're beginning to see and understand. The Atlanta Constitution, one of the biggest papers, the Atlanta Journal and the Atlanta Constitution, as far as I know, the two biggest. And I don't know which is the biggest. The Constitution, I suppose. I don't know. I think it's the same one that give Talmadge trouble. I'm not sure. But anyway, they're wanting to come out and do a write-up. They're wanting to know more about little Bethlehem. See, the Lord is magnifying little Bethlehem. I said, God will place the mud on it to keep all of the people away from it, the rich, the haughty, from having any interest in it. He'll cause it to be reproached in their sight like He did Jesus in the manger. I said, but then there'll come a time He'll take all the mud away from it and magnify it in the eyes of the people. And I believe that God allowed Channel 11, News Alive, to come here and give a documental report on our church so that the people out there could see for themselves, because there's been so much said. I believe that God allowed a documental report at this time, just before the crisis fell down yonder in South America, to reproach us. Now the people can judge for themselves, just like the Catholic boy said, why, it's not even to be compared, even with the cults that they put on there. People can judge for themselves, so it just gives us strength instead of hurting us. It's already been proven. I'm glad that the federal men already came out concerning the little BCR out here. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to God's purpose. And as long as we stick together and work together and labor together and plan together in one mind and one accord for the cause of Christ, everything's going to be fine. But if you run to your little place of fear and try to hide, and somebody else runs to their little place of fear and they try to hide, and first news you know, then everything's going to be all mixed up in a conglomeration of fear and a conglomeration of a mess. But there is nothing to fear, neither at this time nor any other time, There is nothing to fear. There has been nothing to fear. God's people has had nothing to fear in the past. God's people still has nothing to fear. And in the future, God's people will still have nothing to fear. Jesus said, fear not. We don't have to fear. We should be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ and not be frustrated, not be troubled. When all these people begin to question you out yonder on your jobs in the different parts of the world as they're going to do and they're already doing, then the thing to do is to answer them discreetly and answer them with wisdom and just keep right on going. When they say, well, what about this place called Bethlehem? Say, come and see. Hallelujah. Glory to God, we're having a good time out there. What about all these things that we hear? Come on out and learn about it. Hallelujah. Then you'll know. If you get it any other way, you might not understand. All right, you love Jesus? That's the way I believe it. I believe that, is that chapter 7 I read tonight? I believe that we are those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I believe that we are those that God said that He would wipe all the tears from our eyes. And that He would lead us to the fountains of living waters. And the heat of the day would never fall on us again. Because we are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. And who is the Lamb? The Word of God. I do always the things that I hear my Father say or I see my Father do. And what do I hear Him say? I hear Him speak His Word. And what do I see Him do? The things that's contained in His Word. And who is the Lamb? The Word of God. And what do? I follow Him whithersoever He goeth. Because He gives me the peace and the waters of heaven fill my soul. So that I'm not frustrated, I'm not fearful, I'm not troubled. I don't have anything to hide. It's like I said concerning the Atlanta Constitution. It don't make any difference to me. We've had a number of write-ups from different papers. They can come out any time to get ready because we don't have anything to hide. The Bible said the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. The righteous is as bold as the lion. My books are open to them. Our money situation is open to them. Our people is open to them. Our school is open to them. We have nothing to hide. And we don't have to have to take the tuck head over not anything. So then we don't care who comes and where they come. All we want is for them to have enough respect for us to abide by the rules and regulations that we have to set for decency here on the campground. And if they don't abide by them, they'll be told. All right, I think that's all I'm going to say to you tonight as far as indoctrinating you, talking to you. There's a whole lot of things that I'd like to say every night, but there has to be a stopping time. So thought it'd exhort you a little bit tonight. And then stop. I want you to stand with me. That's wonderful to be here tonight. A little tired. I know you're tired. But I'm not weary and well doing. I hope there'll be some fellows around tomorrow that'll give us a helping hand in finishing up the sanctuary. I wish it could have been finished long ago. It could have been if we'd have really been diligent in God would have really showed off our good works. But some of you fail to do your part and your works are not showing. If they are, some of it's in part because you didn't get up and really do your job like you should have. But I'd like to see it finished to where we could show it off for Jesus. Whether it's the church, whether it's the school, or whatever. Well, Atlee was telling me again over in the late evening that he wanted to get started on our house down here. They haven't got it finished, nor the foundation poured or anything. But he said, I'd like to get started on it because I don't think it would take long for us to frame the house. Because I think that's wonderful. And you don't know how enjoyable it would be. But that isn't what I want. That isn't what I'm looking for. I want to do something for God. I have a bed to sleep on. I have a place, a table to eat from. I'm not hurting. I'm all right. I'm comfortable. My family's, they're comfortable. Termites is eating out some places, but it ain't fell through. We're still making it. As long as the boards don't give way, we're all right. I would like to see, if I could, I would like to see the building put up out here. I keep saying that over and over. But I'd like to see the building put up out there if God would permit us to put it up. Because I can see the benefit, or I feel that I can see the benefit, that would be to our followers here at Little Bethlehem. I can see how that they would really profit by me doing those things. And how that people who come here to stay would have a place to stay, whereas it would not inconvenience some of you who are so kind as to offer a place to people who are coming in among us. And it would be a blessing to me. But if we don't get started on right away, we'll just keep praying. If God don't want it, we won't build it. If He does, He'll help us build it. I feel like that He's in it, and I feel like He'll build it. But if He doesn't, well, it's all right with me. I want to do whatever He wants to do. We're not planning to let that take away from our evangelism anyway. As far as I know, the first program on Channel 46 will be shown this Sunday night on UF cable or UF TV, whatever it is. And it's supposed to go out as far as Birmingham, Alabama, and Montgomery, a number of places. People who have cables can reach that far and maybe even farther. In this area, you can get it without a cable. It might not be as plain. It wouldn't be as plain as it would if you went to somebody's home with a cable. But as far as I know, there hasn't been any change as to it being shown this Sunday night. And then on the 30th, as far as I know, on the 30th, News Alive, Channel 11, is supposed to show it there. And I suppose that they will. But whatever, whether it's TV or radio, whether it's the paper or whatever, we want to do all for the glory of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus, that God can get the glory among His people. That's our only purpose and desire. To me, I have no need of reward, for He is my reward. He said, Abraham, I am thine exceeding great reward. God is my reward, so I have no need of reward. All I want to do is just do something for Him. Let's sing a little chorus together. And tonight, as I stand here talking with you tonight, if you haven't completely resolved in your heart to do all His desire and will, then I ask you tonight to do it. If you've not made up your mind to really give your heart and life to God altogether, then now's the time to do it. Because the Lord needs you. He needs your help. He needs your help. He can do without it. But you can't do without Him. He needs your help. He wants to help you, guide you and keep you, and give you the very best. It is God's perfect will to give you the very best. Remember that. But if you do evil, if you do wickedly, then remember you're going to kill your faith. And when you kill your faith, you're going to separate yourself from God. And if you become exceedingly wicked, the Bible said you shall receive the greater damnation. So then when condemnation comes into your heart, your faith is going to go down because you didn't do the things that please God. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please Him. And faith means believe the word, for faith cometh by the hearing of the word. That means to establish the word in your heart, to honor the word in your heart, to obey the word in your heart, to make your life conform to the word. That's faith. Without that believing, it's impossible to please Him. But if you do your best to do that, and then you stumble and stagger, there'll never be any marks against you in heaven. Never be any marks against you through this life. You'll always be perfect in the sight of God. He might give you a spiritual spanking once in a while, but that'll be all. And He'll help you on your way. And He'll make you to ride up in the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He'll give you the desires of your heart and withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before Him. I constantly remind you of this, that it is God's will that you prosper. Prosper. It is God's will for you to prosper. The devil would have you believe that it isn't God's will for you to prosper. But it is God's will for you to prosper and have the very best to eat, to drink, and your little family to have the best. Don't you ever listen to any other kind of thought. It is God's will for you to have the best, to prosper. It is God's will for you to be in health. Don't you ever listen to any voice that tells you that you've got to die with cancer or God can't reach you or it isn't God's will for you to be healthy, that you're one of them people that's to suffer for His glory. It is God's will for you to be perfectly whole and healthy and well every day of your life. And it is God's will for you to live a long life. Don't you ever get in a cycle of saying, well, we've got a short lifeline. We've got a short lifeline. You got a long lifeline. The Bible said if you would see long years, good days, refrain your mouth from speaking evil. Now, like me, I've got a long lifeline. I got a long lifeline on my side of the family. Of course, I can talk like that. Maybe you don't have a long lifeline. But I got a long lifeline. Methuselah lived about 900 years, and then Enoch, he just went away and took a vacation, never has come back. And we got a long lifeline in our family. So what God wants us to do is just live and enjoy the wonderful things of God. All right, remember one thing. Prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. It all hinges on the prosperity of your soul, your faith, and concern for His Word. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? You'll have, all along the way, you'll hear somebody say, well, I believe in what Brother Pike said, but I don't altogether believe in it. And you do what Brother Pike tells you, but you can't do everything he tells you. Some things you got to figure out for yourself. But you just keep on keeping on. And when those people fall into troubles and problems, you'll be able to go on. You'll be able to manage when they're having a hard way to go because they figured it out for themselves. Brethren, you follow me as I follow Christ. If you don't see me following Christ, you don't follow me. But every time I follow this word, you stay right with me because you'll be glad in the end. All right, let's sing this chorus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Can you sing it again? They that wait. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you waiting on the Lord? You know how you wait on the Lord? Prayer, fasting, doing good. Being patient, telling about the glorious things of Jesus, delighting yourself in the things of God, that's how you wait on the Lord. Not be weary, they shall walk